much for the revelation is only for Israel people. I don't feel too bad about doing that either, disproving the theory that the Book of the Unveiling is a local trial. It's not, because the tiny scroll is for Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Well, for some of you, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Martin Zenner. You're at the Revelation series, and John was handed a tiny scroll. It's tiny in comparison to the seven sealed scroll. I started talking about this yesterday. I got on a nice little sidetrack. I hope you like it. I did. And now we're going to delve into details. The fifth messenger hands John a scroll, and John is told to eat the scroll. And I know this is weird, but again, John is taken into the future from the rocky island of Patmos. So the whole thing is weird. The whole thing is weird. And remember, God does this on purpose to confound the wise. So John is handed a scroll. He's told to eat it. And I love it how he just does it. I love it how he doesn't question. What do you mean, eat a scroll? I've never done that. This is along the lines of the faith of Abraham, who was told to put a dagger through his son's heart, and he was ready to do it. Well, God said it, he'll take care of the details. John takes this, Peter walking out on the boat, walking out of the boat onto the Sea of Galilee. Same thing here. Step out of the boat, sacrifice your son, eat this scroll. Okay, so he eats it. And it's sweet because he knows that deliverance is nigh for his people, but it's also bitter because here come the judgments. This, the scope of this scroll is more contracted than the seven sealed scroll. So it's for a smaller portion of the earth. It is for a smaller amount of people, fewer people. And those people are Israel, because we are gearing up toward chapter 11 and verse 19, which will be the beginning of the temple section in which the judgments come to Israel. God does not judge Israel with the nations. Even in Egypt, there was a line of demarcation between the Egyptians and Israel, finally. It was a little bit reversed that time, because the firstborn in Egypt died. God's people were spared the latter plagues because God is careful for his people. But here in the unveiling, he's careful to hammer them. And I do say careful, because you know that I'm a great proponent of the fact that even though there's great evil in the world and judgments coming, they are meted out with great care. We have seven thunders introducing seven bowls, introduced by a seven sealed scroll. We don't know what was written on it, but something was written on it. John, again, we don't get the details because it's just like the scroll. Well, it's somewhat like the seven sealed scroll, except for size. And again, I said this yesterday, I'll remind you, the scroll is an enactment. It's not something that was meant to be read. It was a decree that whatever was written on it is to be acted out. And we see that happening here in chapter 10. So it's tiny only in comparison to the previous one. Its scope is more constricted. And there are sorer judgments. This is hard to believe. Sorer judgments than the larger scroll. Because we see the fifth messenger bellowing as a lion. Let's go back and look at that. And he has a tiny open scroll in his hand, the fifth messenger. This is verse 1 of chapter 10. And he has it in the scroll in his hand. He places his right foot on the sea, the left on the land, and he cries with a loud voice, even as a lion is bellowing. And I reminded that Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. And he cried out with a loud voice in the temple, "Whoever is thirsting, come to me. Whoever is hungering, come to me." He cried out, you remember, many times. Well, I can't say for sure many times. I just remember this one time. The Lord cried out in the temple that anyone who was hungering should come to him. And it is so contrastive here that the messenger also cries out with a loud voice. The contrast is the first coming of Christ with the second coming of Christ in glory. We're seeing here a prelude to his coming. John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Messiah. The fifth messenger is a John the Baptist type of messenger, crying out with the bellow of a lion. So how is it that Jesus Christ is a lamb and a lion? Because he is. Because his nature is as a lamb, but his love is tough, and he carries out his judgments as a lion. And we also have the seven thunders, and you're not going to mess around with those. They introduce the seven bowls of judgment, and the bowls are for Israel. We'll see that in chapter 11 and verse 19. Let's go to 11:19, just as a, because I'm telling you, Israel's coming now. Israel's finally coming. We've had the judgments of the nations. That's the seven sealed scroll. Now we have the judgment of God's people, and you're going to see the woman dressed in scarlet. You're going to see the faithful woman. You're going to see the man of lawlessness introduced, and you're going to see the temple measured. And it all starts in Revelation 11:19, and we are almost there. This starts another huge section of the book. Remember, prophetic, political, and religious. The kingdom and the religion of the kingdom. And 11:19 says this, a prelude. This is a trailer to the upcoming feature. And open was the temple of God in heaven. Did you know there's a temple of God in heaven? There is. There's a temple, and it's the model on which was based the earthly temple. Anyway, and seen was the ark of God's covenant in his temple, and lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and a great hail occurred. And chapter 12, verse 1 says, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon underneath her feet, on her head a wreath of 12 stars, and being pregnant, she is crying, travailing, and tormented to be bringing forth. What is this woman bringing forth? Obviously, it's the nation that's going to be born in one day. It's Israel. And the comparison is great travail. Israel is not coming into some pseudo-kingdom before the actual kingdom. Israel is going to enter into a time of travail that even in her storied, tormented past has never seen the likes of what is coming. And the scroll speaks of this, the opening of it, and it's these scrolls have been sealed for so long. But my personal belief is that they've always been there in the heart of God. And they were saved for John, so that John could see them, and that he could be told what the scrolls meant, what they were going to bring. And they're terrifying. I'm not going to give you any second thoughts about that. I'm not going to draw back. They're terrifying. And I've told you again and again, God keeps his covenants with Israel. Now, the covenant with Israel is called the New Covenant. And a covenant, as you know, is a dual proposition. It's you do your part, I'll do my part. God told Israel to do their part. They didn't do it. This is not a covenant of pure grace. I need to tell you that before we head into chapter 11. It's not like us. We don't have a covenant. Now, yes, that's true. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks, he uses a figure of speech called a covenant. He calls it the new covenant, but this is not the new covenant of Israel. Anyway, the new covenant of Israel isn't strictly a literal covenant anyway, because it is not Israel doing her part, God doing his. That would be a literal true covenant. It's God doing both parts. He puts his law on their hearts. So how could it be called a covenant? So even the new covenant for Israel is a figure of speech. It's not a real covenant. But God does remember his promises to Israel, and these were never in pure grace. We always, I think, we are tempted to look at Israel's program through the glasses of Paul, through the glasses of grace, because we have lived in grace ever since we have known about God. But it was never this way. It was not always so. Won't say it was never this way. It was this way after Paul. So there is divine judgment coming for Israel, and this is figured under the seven bowls. The bowl, I think we're going to see, was a piece of what do you call a bowl? What is it? It's not cutlery, tableware. I don't know. It was part of the temple system. They had the sacrifices. They used bowls. So the seven bowls we're going to see in chapters 15 and 16, the calamities. And I'm telling you, as bad as the judgment of the nations was, the judgment of Israel is worse. They're connected with worship. The seven bowls are poured out on an apostate Israel. Apostate. So you don't need to worry that Israel does not recognize her Messiah. You can rejoice in the Messianic Jews, but you don't need to worry that the nation as a whole does not recognize her Messiah. God's on it. He's taking care of it. So what are you going to do? You're going to go, I mean, I can try to introduce the evangel of Paul to them, but they can't, they don't have an ear for Paul. They're meant, some of them do, but not many. They're meant for their evangel, their circumcision evangel. So look what it takes. Look what it takes to wake this nation up. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go wake up Israel? Look what it takes. It takes seven bowls of God's wrath. It takes a fifth messenger coming down from heaven with seven thunders and seven bowls and the opening of a little scroll that is both bitter and sweet to John. But God keeps his covenant. He doesn't forget it. Lightning flashes of divine judgment are coming for Israel. The apostates, not the faithful, because remember there are 144,000 sealed. God is going to judge his people, but he does not judge them with the world. And it's a good thing he doesn't, because as bad as the judgments were under the sixth seal and the four messengers under the Euphrates, the locusts, and the horsemen, as bad as that was, the judgment of Israel is going to be worse, because we know from Romans, Paul said that those that Israel is going to have sorer, harder judgments because she had Christ in her midst. And to whom much is given, much is expected. Israel was given much. They had every single advantage, and yet they blasphemed God's name among the nations. I'm not a Jew hater, believe me. I'm a Jew lover. I don't hate anybody, but I know that God is on this, and it's going to last no longer than 3.5 years. In God's wrath, he remembers mercy. Remember that. And so we won't see what these seven thunders do, what the seven bowls do, until the temple is measured and we are formally introduced into the temple section of this book. That's enough for today. I know, it went kind of fast. Did it go fast for you? Okay, was it good for you? Yeah, good. It was good for me too. Tomorrow, let's talk about the seven thunders of the judgments of God.